The order that God created in the or had instituted in the New Testament, and then we talked about godly freedom, where we can be free from the bondage of sin, and we can be under God, we can be free from the bondage that sin does give to us. Then we broke it down to the brother's role, father's responsibility under God's authority, the sister's role under God's authority. Then we went down to the child's role under God's authority. Then we last Sunday we talked about the transition, or last time, between the young child and to becoming an adult. That was our last message. Then today's message is geared on personal freedom. And it's basically a review, and yet I'd like to try to, I guess, when those of you building mini barns, those of you building, putting in windows, and those of you building houses, and you like to come up with a finished product where people can kind of see what they're getting and understand. And I'm hoping today's message will hopefully can pull things together where we can understand what is true personal freedom. And the more I've studied this here, the more I've preached on this message, is I realize the fight against authority. And we even have reading today about defunding the police. Now, I know we're not having a policeman here today, but it's something about defunding authority. Let's put authority back in the corner and everybody just do what they want. And human mankind is geared that way and thinking that way. And so that also affects the church. I am amazed how many churches are following that same line of thought. And I trust that we as a church here aren't going to defund the police. We're going to appreciate that God set the government in place to help take care of this earth and take care of things. And we want to pray for them and trust and honor them. But also with the church, I hope this morning that as we think about the blessing of the church and being able to appreciate the church, it is the bride of Christ. It is who Christ died for and redeemed. Christ loves the church. And I this morning will say this unashamedly, that you can't love Jesus without loving the church. You say, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church, then you've got something backward. You've been deceived, because we can't love Jesus without the church, because church is his bride, and they're one. Church, Jesus Christ, and the church are one. So let's. I'd like for you to grasp that. So today I'm going to talk a lot about choices. Personal freedom is a choice. And today, if you're here and you're experiencing personal freedom, it's because you made right choices. If you're here today and you feel like you're in bondage, or you feel guilty, you feel condemned, you feel like you're in bondage, then it's because of your choices. Today is not a day to blame others for my problems. Today, God made us each one accountable for the choices that we make, and the choices that we make determine where we're at and who we are and who we are. The choices that we make, as was mentioned, I think last Sunday, was it's not our circumstances. It's not who our mom and dad is. It's not who the county we live in, or the church we're going to, or we can blame a lot of other things about why we are where we are. So I'd like for you to think about choices today, and I brought some illustrations along so that the children hopefully can understand better, and us adults maybe can too. You've seen some of these things before. As just preachers, we have things hidden in our closets that we kind of keep handy. So you've seen this before, I'm sure, on this pulpit. I don't think many of you have to guess what this is. It's a chain. Can one of your children tell me what does a chain mean? Anybody tell me? If you see a chain, what do you see? What do you think about? of the freedom. So what do we call that? Bondage. Now this is the easy one here. This is the light. So I'm going to have a light. Because basically in our life we have two choices. We can choose light. The Word of God says it is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. So we have light. And we can and we can follow the light, and the light will show us what we need and where we need to go. And it's just something, especially at night, when you walk into the woods, I just love to have a light. There's holes, there's stumps, there's branches, there's just so many beautiful things about a light that's comforting when you walk through the woods, because you can see where you're going and see the path, and you can see what's before you. Now, here, this is what Satan has to offer. Satan says, if you follow me, I will give you true freedom. You can do whatever you want to. You're just a free person. But he doesn't tell you, and Dwight's been doing a very good job in Genesis explaining that to us, how that Satan didn't tell Eve, if you eat that apple, what all is going to happen, that your own son is going to kill his brother, and all the other ugly things, and you'll be chased out of the garden, all the weeds are going to grow, Satan didn't say all those things. He said, you'll be as God. You'll be smart as God is. But see, Satan has this chain right here that he just loves to wrap around. When we obey Satan, obey self, then we are in bondage. So I'd like to, I was challenged again in our Sunday lesson. Brother Steve mentioned about reading the scriptures. And I was debating about doing that. I'm going to try, I got a lot to say today. So fasten your seatbelt, hang on. I'd like for you to put everything aside right now. Just think about Scripture now. When we choose Scripture, we choose the light. The Scripture gives light. And it's something beautiful, comforting, and something beautiful about the light. So just listen to, as I read Scripture this morning. And I'll just think about, this is God's Word. This is what God has shared with us. Proverbs 3:5 is one of my favorites. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, I want you to think about choices now. This is my main thrust today, is choices. So think about choices now. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Proverbs 19:20 says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mightest be wise in the latter end. If you think about, when we hear counsel from God and follow the light, we will be wise in the latter end. See, because the choices determine the path that we choose to go, and that path will take us somewhere. Proverbs 2:6, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, not just stingily. That is a piece of advice. God gives it liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear, and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, the church, they are established. And that's a beautiful thing about the church. It doesn't all come from the Bible. It doesn't all come from God. It comes from the brotherhood also, and sisters. But hopefully God, through them, are speaking to our lives. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, if those by reason of use have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Don't you think about the light again? Think Jesus Christ is the light. He says, I will instruct thee. I will teach thee. Isn't that something I need? I'm thinking about making choices. I'm thinking about which way do I go? How do I, you know, what do I do next? Jesus said, I will teach thee. I will guide thee. It says, even I will guide thee with mine eye. I know parents, especially with young children, they're constantly, where are they at? What are they doing? You're watching them with their eyes so they can see what's happening to make sure they don't hurt themselves or don't go somewhere they shouldn't go and don't do something they shouldn't do. Jesus does that for us. That we follow the light, follow Jesus Christ. That's what we get when we follow him. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. And that's something I think is probably pretty prevalent today, is there are so many people says, trust your heart, follow your heart, do whatever you feel is right, do whatever you want to do, be your own self, bloom where you're planted, you know, just do what you want. He that trusts his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Again, there's choices that you have to make. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And I think that's something as parents we should really pray that our children would somehow they would be able to understand the knowledge, and we need to pray for our children that, so they would be able to understand and make right choices. Especially young people are in a time where there's lots of choices they're making. And praying for them, helping them, guide them, make the right choices is so important. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When we accept Christ our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of wisdom, and it gives us wisdom. We need that. Proverbs 2:2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. I like Proverbs 2, verse 3, says, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice of understanding. Most times somebody's crying, it's because they're desperate. They're hurt real bad, or they really want something real bad, and they cry. That's what God wants us to feel about getting wisdom. This morning, are you crying? Are you crying this morning? Are you crying for wisdom? Are you saying, God, please give me wisdom. I desperately need God. I just don't know which way to go. Help me, God. And we cry out to God. And God just loves giving us wisdom. If thou seekest after her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Proverbs 2:5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Acts 6:10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. The apostles were speaking to the people in the court, people in the high up places, and as they were speaking, they just couldn't resist. They could not. The wisdom was so much greater than what they had because they had the spirit of God within them. I think I'm going to stop with that. All right, I'd like to use the whiteboard a little bit here. Again, some of you in the back probably won't be able to see what's going on here, but we talked about how God is the supreme authority, and God has put the Father in the home as the authority in the home. And as a father then teaches his children, the father is their authority. And the little child and to the father, that authority, the child is accountable, responsible to the father. And I have here from 1 to 10. Some of these ages could be very flexible. But as a child grows to the next stage, the transition stage, the father is still responsible for the child, and yet the father is wanting the child to speak to God. So there's authority to God and submission to God and submission to father. So at the ages from 11 to 20 is that transition stage where we want our children to go from being accountable to us, depending on us, and us guiding them in their step, showing them the way, that we want that child to eventually be transitioned to God. That we have the age of 21 and older, where then the child is on his own. And again, these ages aren't in the Bible. I read in the Bible where Isaac, even at 40, respected and honored his dad, his father. So I don't know that honoring your father ever stops. I don't think it just stops at 21. I would like to say, you know, honor your parents as long as they live. It would be my thought. So that was just basic what we had in the initial teaching here. Now today we're talking about choices here. And again, just a simple guideline I think I had on the board before. We're here, I don't know where you're at this morning. Hopefully you're on this narrow way. But we have this morning, we have choices to make. We can choose to follow self, or we can choose to follow God. And today we're going to be talking about that, choices, and how our choices determine where we end up at, where we go, what we do, who we are. Just again, remember, when we choose self, we walk alone. God does not walk with us. We walk alone, and it seems like everybody else is following the world going that way, then I want to go that way too. But there's so many lonely people that are following self. Because when you follow self, self is God. And nobody else wants to be really close to you because yourself is God. So following self is a very lonely place. It's a place of bondage. Because when we follow self, we're chained to Satan and the damnation that will go to Satan when we die. So there's bondage when we walk to follow self. There's darkness. There's no protection. There's guilt. Those are things that Satan doesn't tell you when he says for you to follow yourself. There's bondage, there's darkness there. Today I want to promote coming to the cross, dying to self, and then walking with Jesus on the pathway to God. Choosing the light, following the light, and just allowing the light to guide us and direct us on our path. So we walk with Jesus and his disciples. I'm so thankful this morning that I can walk with you brethren and sisters here. I love that. I love being a part of a body of believers where we can walk together to heaven. I'm walking with Jesus, and yet I'm walking with his disciples. I'm experiencing love from the brethren. I'm experiencing the beauty and companionship, and we can walk together. We have the angel's protection. Doesn't mean that Satan cannot tempt us or cannot destroy us or cannot... But we have a protection there that the one who follows self does not have. So don't you think about that. So when you make choices, you've made choices in the past. I'm thankful this morning that you don't have to stay with those choices. If you made wrong choices in the past, that God's forgiveness is there. God loves to unlock the chain. God loves to give you true freedom. God wants to walk with you. He wants you to follow the light. This morning, I want to encourage you to do that. Follow the light. Now, I'd like to use the overhead a little bit here. If you'll allow me to, again, I'm not just real experienced with this, but I will try again to... I practiced this morning a little bit, so I wouldn't practice on you. I'd like to, a lot of these overheads are illustrations that help me to understand. You know, it's one thing to have wisdom, but it's another thing to understand. And like Johnny did this morning, it was just so beautiful. He helped us understand how God gives us this garden to illustrate how weeds and plants grow together, and how what's good and what's bad. See, those things help us to understand. Now, John, if you think you're simple, well, John, I'm much more simple than you are. So. I need a lot worse than you do. Okay, let's keep moving here. See if I can get this right. So I'll be sharing some pictures today to help us to understand. Again, for some of you that are in the back there, I'm sorry if you can't see very well, but that's part of what those who chose us up front will get a better view. We have here a rebel. We have here a rebel is someone who decides he does not want to believe the Bible. He doesn't want to listen to his parents' advice. He doesn't want to follow biblical authority. And he's playing on his flute, and he's just happily marching along, singing his flute, doing his own thing. And this, but I want you to, I was going to bring it along, I did not. One thing about this side over here is missing that I think it's important that we know. It's a real thing that most people don't understand, and that's a blind. When a person is rebellious, they're blindfolded. A rebellious thing will not be able to see wisdom. A rebellious person will not be able to understand. They will not see knowledge and wisdom. All they can see is their self. And so that's why they're rebellious, because all they can think about is me. And so that's this young person here. It could be a boy or a girl. He's singing his flute. He's just marching along. He's just doing his own thing. He's so happy. But he cannot see the end of his way. He's marching toward, and there's a sign that plainly says wrong way, but guess what? He can't see the sign because he's blind. He can't see. So the thing that in the choice of being rebellious, being disrespectful, is they're chained to self. And there's a cliff there, and you know what happens when somebody falls off the cliff. All right, let's talk now about some five basic rules of making good decisions. We don't want to be blindfolded. We don't want to be rebellious. We want to make good decisions. We want to follow the light. This is what we want. So how do I do that? One of the things is we must, and thank you, Wayne, for speaking that. Was that last Sunday or what it was about obeying the Word of God, believing the Word of God, the authenticity of the Word of God. So we make our decisions. We're constantly, every day, making decisions. And a lot of times, our basis for our decisions is based on our culture. A lot of it is. The way we've been brought up, the way that our parents have taught us, the way that other people do things. A lot of our decisions is kind of, y'all came here at 9:30 because everybody else was here at 9:30. So that's part of our culture. That's just the way we do things. We start at 9:30. That's why you're here at 9:30, because that's just our culture. So a lot of decisions that you make are based on your culture, which is not necessarily wrong or the only way. But I want you to think about decisions now. You're constantly making decisions, and every decision that you make determines which way you're going and where you'll end up at. So you make decisions based on the Word of God and believing the Word of God. And I read a lot of scriptures this morning to give you that base to make your decisions off of, and what God provides for you. There's at times that we have to understand, at times that we will stand alone. When we choose to follow God's Word, we believe what God's Word says. There are times that our friends or our neighbors or people that we're around don't make those decisions. And so we have to do things different than they do. And sometimes you can feel like you're alone. And see, what Satan says, don't make it hard for yourself. Blend in. Try to fit in with everybody. You don't want to you don't want to stand out like a sore thumb. That's weird. That's, just fit in. Where God says, choose this day whom you're going to serve. You're going to follow light, you're going to follow self. And by following the light, it sets us apart. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And today's lesson we had, don't even touch what appears to look bad. Remember Mike Overholt shared that here? Order your life by what is wise and unwise rather than what's right and wrong. And we have another illustration that's going to, I'm going to talk more about that. But don't just, those suckers that Johnny was talking about this morning may not have been wrong, but it's wiser to cut them off so the plant will grow. So what should you do? Should you just go by right and wrong, or should you do what's wise? And there's many things in our life that way. Some things we can do that aren't necessarily right or wrong, but let's do what's wise. Have your focus on pleasing God. I'm going to talk about that later in another illustration. Some of these here kind of blend together, so you have to kind of, but we're line upon line, precept on precept here. Now let's look at a three-point guiding system with facing the two legitimate choices. Let's say both choices are legit. They're both good. Should I go to Faith Mission or Mountain View? Should I go to Kenya, or should I stay here at home and take care of my parents? You know, there's a lot of questions that we asked. First of all, look at your will. Have you been to the cross? Have you died to your will, to yourself? And are you just God, whatever you choose? You're like Mary. Said Mary just told Gabriel, said just be it unto this handmaid as you will. I surrender my heart, my life to you. And then also go to your authorities, which could be your parents, could be the ministers, could be the other church brethren, people who ask them how they feel about it. Oftentimes, my son just called me just recently, and they were asked to go somewhere, and they said, well, how do you feel about this? We were asked to go to a certain place. Should we or shouldn't we go? And just talk about it. Get other input. And a multitude of counselors are safety. So you get input from your authorities. But most of all, then, you come back to what the Word of God says. Is what, if by doing this, would I be able, you know, if I, and I'm going to be very honest here, am I going to go do this? That's what I told my son. I said, so you're going to go do this job and leave this job undone. You're responsible here. You're doing the job here. If you go here, you're going to leave this undone. So is that really scriptural? So we have to kind of think those things. And when all those three line up, then God can give us a green light. And I like to say that I'm not going to do something. I'm not going to move somewhere. I'm not going to go somewhere unless I feel at peace about it. A deep peace inside that this is what God wants me to do. So just something for you to think about. These are things that help you make right decisions. Make decisions that will help guide you and take you the right way. All right, let's keep going. This is the one that I told you earlier about. We're going to... Others may, I may not. To judge my brother is not my lot. I'll serve the Lord with heart desire. To Christ my King, I will draw near. And we have this circle here, and this is what I'd like for you to think about. This is a point I want you to bring out in. You're inside this circle, and you're trying to make a decision. You could be inside this circle, and you could be facing the line of right and wrong. You can say, and you may be right here at the edge of the line there. You may look in, now this is right, this is wrong. I'm not going to do what's wrong, but I'm going to do what's right. But I'm facing this line here because I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to be in bondage, so I want to make the right choice. That's really not what God wants of us. God says, turn around. Look at God. Face God and look at the light, because the light shows us the way. And look at the light and focus toward the light, toward God. By doing that, it gets our mind and thought off of the battle of what's right and what's wrong. And so many times there are individuals that live on the line. They're constantly just right on the edge. They walk right along the edge. You're just hoping they won't fall off, but they haven't fallen off yet, but they're right here. Is that really where you want to be? Is that really what God wants of you? Or does God want you to be looking at Him and admiring him and following him and adoring him and worshiping him. When you do that, somehow that Lionel there is not important at all anymore. And I remember what that meant for my life. When I got away from the line and started focusing on God, my life just changed. It was so different. There was a lot less fight and frustration in my life. You say, well, Johnny's over there, Joe's over there, Pete's over there. They're having a ball. Don't judge. Just because they're there don't mean you have to be there. You follow the light. And that's sometimes where you have, sometimes you feel like you walk alone. But you're not alone. Remember that. Remember that illustration. When you follow the light, you're with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's in your life. And he's walking with you. And you're not alone. It's when you follow self is when you're alone. I'll borrow this from Harold Dean. Hopefully most of you can hear. To discern rightly, you must be born again. For us to make right decisions and right choices, we must have a new heart. We can't make wise choices with an evil heart. We must be born again. And again, we must believe in the authority of the Scripture. We must, when the Word of God says it, that's it. We must have a daily relationship with the Holy Spirit. So important. Is that we know the Holy Spirit. It lives within us. And it's guiding us. It's speaking to us. It's guiding us our path. That helps us make right decisions. Number four, we must believe in biblical separation. We must believe that Jesus' word says to come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. We must believe in biblical separation. Not only in dress, but in lifestyle. In what we do. Number five, we must have victory over pride. Because pride says, don't die at the cross. Do what self wants to do. Because you're pretty important. You're pretty wise. You know what you want. Just do what you want. That's pride. And pride is like the blinder. It will blind you. All right, let's move back to the protection we have. Now, I could have given the other illustration, but I don't have time this morning. We have here, when the father and mother were under the umbrella of God's protection, when the father is submitting to God and under God's authority and is letting the word of God teach him and direct him, he is under God's authority, and there's protection there, there's a blessing, there's safety there. And then as mother, the wife in the home, she submits to her husband, and the children submit to mother and father. There is a certain amount of protection there. There's comfort there. There's light there. But when we choose not to, we choose to rebel against father and mother, we are subject to ourselves to witchcraft, which is Satan. Satan is watching for a weak moment, a time for you that he can deceive you and can take you away from God's protection. See, he wants you to follow this path. I warn you again, when we follow Satan's path, this is what we get. We follow Christ's path, this is what we get, the light. So this morning, we choose. If we choose to rebel and be disrespectful, whatever, we are not going to have God's protection in our life. Let's keep moving. I love this. Now, this one's probably 50 years old for me. I love this because I've experienced it so real in my own life. We have human authority in the hands of a skillful God. And again, God has placed human beings to help us to be a better person. To help us make wise decisions and right decisions. To help us follow the right path. And I just love the illustration of the home. God places these 1 and 2 year olds. They're sitting in the front, 5 and 6 year olds, whatever. He places them in our home. And God gives them a father and mother who loves and cares for them and is teaching them. And trying to instruct them, help them to follow the right paths. And so as they are under God's authority in the home and the father of the home is teaching and training them, helping them to understand, to make right choices. That's one of the goals that we have as parents, is to help our children make right choices. Now, I want to say something to say now. If you are permissive and you allow your child to do things wrong in your home, you don't do anything about it, you're telling your son and daughter that that's the way God is. Sometimes you can obey God if you want to, and other times you don't have to. So this child will grow up with the concept that God doesn't really care if I take a drink once in a while or smoke a little bit, you know, but don't do it all the time. You can carouse around a little bit, but not, you know, just, you can do mostly good, but you can do some bad too. It's okay. That's the same. So in our homes, it's important that we're careful, that we are diligent, that there is a clear right and wrong, and we don't allow children to sin and get by with it or condone it. Each of us has a multitude of character deficiencies that need to be perfected. God uses those in authority to do this. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. All right, let's keep moving up here. God assures us that the heart of one who is in authority is in his hand, and that he turns in the same way he turns a meandering river by the pressure of the current and time. I bought a little lot in Charlotte, and there's a little creek running through it, and I was watching, observing that creek, and it bends back and forth and back and forth. And every bend, I can see the water is rushing up against the bank and trying to change its path. It's eroding that bank and trying to create another path. And you will find that happening, is that rivers don't always stay in the same place. They keep changing because of current and time. But the heart of someone who is under God's authority, like father and mother are supposed to be, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the water, rivers of water, he turns it wheresoever we will. This is the part that most of us don't like, and yet it is so good for us. My teacher at home, I won't tell you that story, you're probably tired of hearing that story, he had a hammer and a sharp chisel, and he was working on my pride. But we have the hammer there. We have someone who is in authority. And again, it's God. It's God is directing that one person in authority to help the one who is not submitting, not surrendering, not as being rebellious. Or maybe they are young Christians and just don't understand, don't know better. And so, and I can assure you, every time that hammer comes down on that chisel and hits that diamond, it hurts. It is not a pain-free way to build character. But it is a profitable way. It's a beautiful way. The end result, you have a beautiful diamond. You have a son or daughter who has learned to submit and surrender to their parents and to their authority, and they're beautiful. They're ready to serve the Lord because they already know how to listen to their authority. And so when they come to God, whatever God says, they, yes, God, I'm willing to do it. Because they have learned to be submissive to mom and dad and to their authority at home. And it could be your school teacher. It could be the policeman who stopped to give you a ticket. He may, you need to slow down. You're being dangerous. You're going too fast. Whatever it is. And there's just many ways God sends people in our lives that have that hammer and pick. And what they're trying to do is trying to perfect us, trying to help us become a better person. This morning, I'd like for you to thank God for the hammer and the pick. Now, when you do that, you're saying, God, I welcome pain. I welcome pain in my life. I feel like it's going to hurt because what you're taking out of me is part of who I am. It's what I like. It's what I want to do. This is me. And you're chiseling it out. It's not fair. Well, God sees the greater picture. God sees that thing is hurting you. That thing is destroying you. That thing is taking you away the wrong way. I want you to follow light. Let me back up here a little bit here. Believe it or not, this is what we'd look like if we would follow ourselves. I don't know how many of you can see that back there or not, but that artist was very, very creative. I'll bring it up here where you can see some of it. Self-abuse, toxic shame, abuse of others, doubts. Here we have an individual who is, he is determined to follow self, allowing self to rule his life. And so he's just plodding on. I just got to keep going. It's going to get better one of these days. I got to keep going. It's bound to get better one of these days. And he's got that little cat with self-pity there, you know, feeling sorry. I don't have any money. I don't have any home. I don't have a place to go. But that's just the way life is, you know. And I just feel sorry for himself, you know. But he's there because of choices that he made. I want you to notice something on this picture here that I mentioned earlier. You know, he just passed a sign that says, "Be sure to stop and visit the Church of Jesus, the Cross of Christ, in 1 mile." But there's something across his eyes that he didn't even see the sign. He's like the boy, young man that was blowing his flute, heading for the cliff. He's blindfolded. And that's where Satan does not tell you. When we have this chain of self around us, we're blindfolded. We cannot hear advice. We cannot accept advice. We can't see danger. It's because we're deceived. It's a terrible situation to be in. Then we have the new man. Hopefully all of us have been there. We've been at the cross. We've dumped our pride and our self-abuse, and we've anger and resentment and our bitterness and our rebellion. We've dumped it all at the foot of the cross. And we say, "God, I just give you my all. I want to die to you, God. I want to be your child. I want to follow you. I want to follow the light." And we're a new creature. And all at once, our eyes are opened, and all at once we can see the truth of God's word. We can see that this was really evil, and this is really good. Now, I've noticed that about Christians who have been a Christian for a while. The longer they're Christians, the more they realize how evil and how wrong evil really is. And because their eyes are open, they start seeing things through the eyes of God. And they start understanding why God was so adamant about me changing my life from bondage to light. God cares for us. He loves us. He doesn't want us to be in bondage. And if you're in bondage, it's because you chose to be there. If you're following the light, it's because you chose to follow the light. This morning we have choices. Which choice are we making this morning? Through Christ we are set free. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "According to his divine power, hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Jesus Christ is calling us to the light. He's calling us to glory and virtue. He's calling us to make right decisions. And as we make those decisions, he gives us strength to walk and to fulfill those commitments that we make. And when we become part of a church, we make a commitment to support the church. When we get married, we make a commitment to love each other, be faithful to each other. We give our hearts to God. We make commitments. And commitments are wonderful, but it's so important that we follow through with those commitments and we're faithful to those commitments. That's what makes the diamond beautiful, is when people who are faithful to their commitments. People who are not doing what self wants to do, but they're doing what they know God wants them to do. And they're following the light and are honoring the light. When you surrender to Christ, he gives you the power to surrender and submit to his word. It is not by your own good works or deeds that you are saved. It is through Jesus Christ that you are set free and delivered from the bondages and strongholds of sin. Again, even those of us who have chosen the light, and maybe as we've chosen the light to walk the light, maybe there's some suckers growing that are distracting us or hindering us from being fruitful. And God is saying, you need to cut those suckers off. There's more I want from you. I want you to be able to serve him better, more profitable. But God, I kind of like those suckers. They kind of look good on me. They can't I have a little bit of who I am? God says, no, I want you to die to that. I want you to get rid of those things. I want you to faithfully follow me all the way to the end. And whenever we give way to God and we surrender to God, God always has something better, more beautiful. See, that's the opposite of over here. When Satan tempts us and says, I want you to do this, he has something worse, something more, a lot worse to give to you. That's the way Satan works. And he loves to see you be despondent or rebellious, or he loves to see you discouraged and down and out. And there's so many things that Satan loves, because when you're down and you're discouraged, guess what you'll do? You'll find a bottle, drink some liquor, you'll smoke a cigarette, you'll chew some tobacco, or you'll carouse. There's just so many things that when you're discouraged, you'll end up doing those things. And that's exactly what Satan wants. When you make those decisions to follow Satan, it gets worse and worse. When you follow the light, it gets better and better and better. And there's some faithful brethren here this morning that have been Christians for a long time and have lived God's life for a long time. I'm grateful this morning to those who are older than me. That have been faithful, whose examples are encouraging to me that continue to be faithful, continue to follow God. And that's my desire this morning for the church here, is that we could, as a church, as a body, we would make right choices. We would allow the Holy Spirit to help us make right choices, that we could experience personal freedom. When I talk about personal freedom this morning, I'm talking about freedom that I can feel in my heart. I can be free. I don't have to have guilt. I don't have to have condemnation. I don't have to worry about if I die tonight that I would not go to heaven. Such a beautiful, pleasant thought is to be ready to go at any time. And again, that's a choice that I have to make. God is so quick to forgive us where we have failed. We bring our faults, we bring our problems to God, and we say, God, I'm sorry. And God is so faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to give us a clean, pure, free heart. Can you choose that? And I have about 20 questions here that I would like to read this morning. I'm not going to have time. I asked the young people at Bible school, I said, what are some things that you really, really struggle with today in making decisions? And they gave me about 20 questions. And if you want them, I have copies of them here. But so many questions, they were just like, what do I do in this situation? How do I discern? I want to just say this little piece of advice here. Somehow, and I was there too, is somehow we think God's will is different than what the Word of God says. And I just like to encourage you young people here this morning, if you're at a place in your mind, your life, that you're kind of frustrated, what do I do? What do I do? Instead of finding something different to do, just do what you know to do, what the Word of God says. When we do that, I can promise you, it will clear up a lot of things in your life. But you say, God, that's not really what I want. Well, God, when he wrote the Bible, he didn't say, now, whatever you want, I'll put in the Bible. This is what God wanted. God is the light. And I can promise you, when you follow light, God will lead you in a safe, beautiful place. Let's kneel for prayer.